You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into another episode of Future Brew right here on MaizeandBrew.com. I am Vaughn Lozon. Joining me today, per usual, Steven Ossentoski and John Simmons. Boys, it's a gloomy Monday evening here, but I'm ready to talk some Michigan football and basketball recruiting today. Going to be an exciting episode. John, how you doing, my friend?
Good. I'm still trying to wrap my head around my Orioles drafting strategy. But yeah, other than that, I have some, you know, good football news to distract me.
Hey, I can relate. I was watching that draft yesterday with the Tigers and was hoping that they would pick Marcelo Meyer. He was available and they pick a high school right-handed pitcher. Like, they needed more of those guys in the organization. So I'm with you. Yeah. I was baffled by your guys' pick too.
I wish the Orioles would take a pitcher once in a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, 1 in 10 rounds.
Well, hey, yeah, that's right. And the Tigers had like 7 in 10 rounds pitching wise. So interesting stuff here. Steven, how are you, my friend? What's going on with you?
I'm doing all right. I'm impressed by you guys, man. I can't really get into baseball. I think it's time for me in the summer to kind of reset and take a little time away from sports. And man, my Twitter timeline and you guys are locked in. You're around when it comes to recruiting and drafting, and you guys are impressive. So relaxing a little bit. Yeah, I'll have to ask you guys all the draft questions for baseball so I can appear to be intelligent whenever it comes up.
Well, not only just baseball, but we got the hockey and basketball drafts coming up too. So
that's true.
Just stay locked in. We'll give you all the news, Steven. Don't worry. You don't have to lift a finger or change the TV channel or anything. We got you. Well, at least I do. I don't know where John stands with hockey and basketball.
I'm pretty lost with hockey.
But okay.
Basketball, I can hold my own, but yeah, okay. You have to handle that.
Hey, Cade Cunningham, that's all you need to know right, for basketball, for the Pistons. Let's get into football recruiting first. We'll hit the basketball stuff later on after the break, but let's talk about the Wolverines' latest addition to the 22 class. Still picking up more commitments here. It's been a busy month or so for the Wolverines, and they picked up yet another defensive player. Today, as we're recording this on Monday, got it from 3-star linebacker Micah Pollard. He is listed at 6'3", 200 pounds, and is from Jacksonville, Florida. He is currently number 550 overall on the composite, but is another kid who was unranked when Michigan first offered him, which was way back at the beginning of the year in January. George Hilo being the primary recruiter in this one for the Wolverines, mainly thanks to his ties to the Jacksonville area. He was recruiting him even when he was the safeties coach when they brought him in and flipped him over to the linebackers coach. And obviously that assisted Michigan big time in this recruitment. Pollard officially visited Michigan that first weekend in June and then went on a couple other officials to Auburn and Indiana. Also had an unofficial visit to UCF and decided to lock everything in today with the maize and blue. So he is now the 16th member of Michigan's 2022 class. And I guess you could really say the second type of edge rushing linebacker in this class, joining Kevontae Henry. We'll see where Eugenio ends up. So it could be three, but I think he's more set for just a strict edge defensive end kind of position there. So continuing to build the defensive class here for the maize and blue. So John, I'll turn it over to you because for a while it looked like Auburn had kind of overtaken this recruitment. He had a solid official visit there after a good visit to Michigan, also had that Indiana visit, but really seemed like Auburn was the main competition here throughout this recruitment after that visit as well. But there were a lot of factors in Michigan's favor in this one, including the bond with Hilo and just several other things as well. So I wanted to ask you what you thought it was that put Michigan over the top at the end of the day, because it could have been one of a handful of things. So what did you think it was in your opinion?
Yeah, well, for one, I think it's the constant recruitment from George Hilo. I think Pollard was one of the guys that he immediately identified. I think he was recruiting him even when he was at Maryland. So I think Pollard's been on Hilo's radar for a while. And I think that persistence really paid off, but you know, there's also the family ties. You know, his uncle is Braylon Edwards, you know, who I think despite a lot of the contention in the media about Braylon Edwards in Michigan, I still think loves the school. And then, you know, his dad played with Jim Harbaugh while he was a tight end for the Colts. So I think those connections and relationships really helped Michigan here in the long run, winning over Auburn, making him feel comfortable going up north and playing, you know, out of his area a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to mention the Edwards connection there, but I figured you'd bring that up. I think that did play a role in that as well. And obviously with Hilo, I'm pretty sure you're right that he was recruiting him when he was with Maryland as well. So, I mean, he's been on Hilo's radar, like you said, for a while. And it really just seemed like everything kind of came together once Hilo switched over to the linebackers coaching spot to kind of just put a bow on this recruitment. Obviously Auburn put up a good fight there. It looked like he was going to go to Auburn there for a second. There were a few crystal balls in their favor, but the tide turned and Michigan swooped in at the last second to get all those crystal balls and kind of just seal this recruitment up here. So, Steven, want to ask you, excuse me, when you watch film on Micah Pollard, because again, I kind of mentioned he's like this edge outside linebacker type prospect here. What stands out to you the most, both positively and negatively? And how do you compare him, if at all, to a guy like Kevontae Henry, who they already have committed in this class?
Yeah, it's interesting. His scouting thing that stands out to me is a great frame. He's going to be able to put on weight extremely well. So I don't have any concerns about him. You know, I kind of see him in limbo right now, being 6'3 and 200 pounds. He's obviously going to have to grow, and he has a linebacker skill set kind of in a jumbo safety body right now. So with that frame, I don't think there's any issues on him actually realizing that, that 240 pound frame that you want a linebacker of his height to be around. So that stands out, and I'm enthused about that. I think his closing speed is there. Thing that I think really pops onto film, kind of the eyebrow raisers, his ability to change direction at speed. So there's not a whole lot of lost speed in his movements. He's able to adjust on the fly, mid blitz or rushing around the edge. If there's an option play, he's able to redirect extremely quickly and not a whole lot of speed loss there. So I think that's his biggest asset. I don't think he's going to be a 4-5 guy. I think he could be in the 4-6s. So to me, he seems like a guy that you want rushing the quarterback as much as possible. So that might be a true edge rusher. I didn't get as good of a sense on his bend around the corner from his film. I think I really like him kind of as a Sam position as of now. But we'll see. I want him rushing quarterback, like I said, as much as possible. His agility at his top speed is excellent. And that's something that I think you'll take if you're Michigan, you'll take that skill set and figure out what he grows into. So it's just a matter of how much weight he puts on and how his speed and agility adjusts at, 240 compared to 200 pounds as of now.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you nailed it right there. And it's just interesting seeing, with this new look defense that Mike McDonald is bringing in, Michigan obviously looking to rebuild it. And a major emphasis in this recruiting class has been players like Micah Pollard, Kevontae Henry. They're going after a guy like a three-star Joshua Josephs, who's a big-time target for them as well. All these types of players that are around that 6'3", 6'4", and then 200 to 220-ish pounds, these types of guys, incredibly important, it seems like, to a defensive style like what Mike McDonald is bringing in. So, Steven, I wanted to ask you that too, is just how important you think guys like that are going to be with this new scheme moving forward in this new defense, and realistically how many they would probably want to take in this class, because they're eyeballing a couple more guys. They've already got two on board with Henry and now with Pollard. Joseph's obviously being another top target there. I just wanted to get your thoughts on all of that as well, Steven.
Yeah. I mean, you think of how valuable a guy like Judon, right? Matthew Judon of the Ravens, how valuable he is to that team. And I mean, I feel like we've talked a good deal about how defenses are changing to be more positional variability, I guess, have that sort of look where the offense is looking at this defense. It's like, how many defensive linemen are out here? How many linebackers are out here? So in a 3-4 and you have multiple looks that Michigan's going to have out of that, I mean, I could see Michigan taking as many as four or five of those type of bodies, because if they can grow into an edge rusher, you'll need at least one, more likely two of those shaped guys on the field at all times. And then if they are able to grow into a more hand in the dirt type of guy, their strong side defensive end is there. And if they don't grow at all, then you have, your linebacker positions. So honestly, it's kind of the position I think you need to get the most of those shaped bodies, because whichever way they grow or whichever way they develop, there's going to be a spot for them, and it's going to give you more comfortability in the multiple looks that you're able to have. And you'll be able to confuse offenses with a bunch of guys who can serve multiple roles, either as a defensive end, true edge, or a linebacker. So all of these guys, 6'3", 6'4", they'll probably float around 230, 240. And that just makes it kind of a nightmare for offenses to figure out what role that player is going to play on any given snap, because Michigan could change that from first to second to third down very comfortably without having to make subs on the field. So it's a valuable thing to have guys like that. And I think this is a true testament to Michigan being confident in their ability to develop guys regardless of how they grow. So it's more about getting those bodies in and valuing athleticism and probably some intangibles as well. Just kind of sell that vision for them that it's a spot where they can grow into whatever position their bodies will have them grow into. And Michigan will have the schematics in place to take advantage of that.
Yeah. It kind of makes missing out on a guy like Joshua Burnham a tougher pill to swallow, 'cause he would have been really just the frame and everything at 6'4", 225 in state, near top 100 kid, being that kind of player would have been really nice in Michigan's new defense, but he's committed to Notre Dame. back in March, I think. Been a long time for him. But yeah, it's going to be an important position moving forward. There's no question about it. John, wanted to get your last word on this too. Just with all of that said, and bottom line though, I mean, Michigan cashed in on this position and have really cashed in on the position so far with the two commits that they already have. And, you know, with them recruiting Pollard for about half a year now, Henry didn't really take a whole lot of convincing for him to join the class, but being able to get two guys, and it's mid-July, just about, they got a lot more time to really hone in on some of these final targets they have. You know, I can, like Steven said, I could see them taking several more guys here, but wanted to give you the final word, John, on this, and we'll move on.
Yeah, I think Michigan feels pretty confident in the class they've got at this position. You know, they had someone like Anto Saka, who's another pure edge guy, slated to take an official, but then they canceled it because I think they liked where they stood with their other targets. You know, Joseph Adgar just committed to TCU, and I think they were okay with that because he seemed a little bit farther down their board. But right now, I think it's just kind of turn all their energy and focus on the Joshua Josephs, you know, try to fight off, you know, Tennessee, UNC for him and land him. And then, you know, the guy we'll talk about in a second, Deuce Spurlock or Lander Barton, even, you know, I think are more linebackers right now. But like Steven was talking about, you know, you just take guys with these body types and see where they develop, and then you can put them at the position that fits that best. So I could certainly see those two growing into more edge rushers down the line too, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, that's a perfect transition, John. You mentioned him, Deuce Spurlock. We're going to talk about him next. So let's just move right on to him. And if you haven't heard of him before now, I can't really blame you because he's kind of been one of those under the radar guys that Michigan offered last month. He's a three-star athlete. He's from the state of Alabama, which definitely has just a plethora of good football talent, but he's not even in the top 1,000 overall in his class. So a very interesting prospect here. He's 6'2", 200 pounds. He got his offer from Michigan. He came all the way from Alabama to camp in Ann Arbor, and that's when he got that offer from George Helo. It was actually Courtney Morgan, though, who brought Spurlock's name up to the Michigan coaching staff. He was on Morgan's radar when he was still over at Fresno State. So very interesting connection here. It, really, his only other notable offers are from Boston College, Mississippi State. He's got one from Washington State, and he's got one from Pitt. Those are really the only ones, Power Five at least. He's got a ton of smaller school offers, but those are really the big ones that popped out to me. So you're probably wondering what it is about this guy that really intrigued the Wolverine coaching staff to give him a scholarship offer in the first place. And he's a versatile player. He plays offense. He plays defense. He even is kind of a star on special teams. He blocked two punts on special teams for his high school this past season, had 89 total tackles, seven tackles for loss, three sacks, two picks, and five pass breakups, and had six touchdowns receiving, had 17 receptions, 493 yards on offense. So certainly an interesting prospect here, but they're going after him at the linebacker position. So, John, I'll just go right back to you, man. Michigan has offered, it seems like, a ton more kids than normal on the camping circuit this summer. And a lot of that probably has to do with the pandemic. They didn't get a lot of in-person evaluations, if any, this past season. But guys like Jaden Denegal, Alessandro Lorenzetti, Aaron Alexander, all of those players have committed to Michigan after good workouts in front of the coaching staff. So by all accounts, John, it sounds like Spurlock may be the next to follow suit here. It sounds like he may want to wrap up his recruitment pretty soon. And there were some rumors that he may have committed just on the spot after his workout, after getting that scholarship from Michigan, but he didn't end up doing that, obviously. But he very well could be next in line here to commit to Michigan after a good workout.
Yeah, Michigan seems pretty determined to get a kid from Alabama this cycle, and Spurlock could definitely see it. I think it makes sense that they're offering a lot of these kids after in-person evaluations because, you know, the coaches haven't had a chance to see these guys, you know, for over a year. So, you know, they're getting them up on campus and seeing what they can do in person. And, you know, it's gone the other way too, with guys like Justice Finkley and Hayden Schwartz. You know, the staff kind of cooled on them after they saw them, got measurements, saw them work out in person too. So I think they're just trying to, you know, confirm what they see on tape, you know, what intel they get from coaches and things like that, before they, you know, make an offer committable, or, you know, really try to bring guys into class. So I think it's just very, the whole board's very fluid right now. And, you know, I think Spurlock performed really well in front of them and kind of confirmed their thoughts on him. So they're ready to go all in. And it looks like he wants to be part of the class. So it'll probably happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it certainly does. And I mean, I can't blame him. Obviously, not only just because spots are filling up, but if you look at his offer list, Michigan is clearly far and away the best offer that he has. And if he already has that bond with Hilo and some of the other coaches, including Courtney Morgan, then it seems like Michigan certainly could very well be at the top, especially with all these crystal balls coming in. And it really sounds like a commitment could be in the pretty near future here. Steven, just with him in general, you know, it seems like he could very well be one of those top target guys at the Mike linebacker spot, just because of the lack of guys that they're really going after. It seems like they're going after a lot of these outside linebacker edge rushing guys, but obviously John brought up Lander Barton. He is a top target for sure at the linebacker spot. Sebastian Cheeks is a guy that we haven't really heard a ton of, but is a four-star prospect who visited this past month. And obviously a guy that they've been going after for a long time. So clearly they're looking for more guys at this spot. They've already got Alexander committed. But regardless of all of the other guys, what do you see on film from him that may have the coaches really interested in getting him to Ann Arbor with this commitment potentially here?
Yeah, I think the thing that's kind of that you see a lot of for a lot of these kind of tweener guys between positions is they're really good at rushing the quarterback. And that's the thing they do over and over again. I was most impressed with Deuce Spurlock's name, which is phenomenal, but he's definitely a guy who's comfortable in coverage. So you mentioned he had 6 or 7 touchdowns on offense, impressive ball skills overall. He seems like a tight end focused kind of guy, and that translates to the defensive side as well. So when he's on offense, he's able to really flash his hands away from his body, high point the ball. And on defense, he has a couple picks in his film as well, displaying that ability. So seems like he's a plus athlete in coverage, comfortable operating in space like that as well. You know, being undersized, he kind of operated as a safety early on. So now that he's bulking up, he's going to be able to take those skills, that comfortability, kind of as a quasi safety type of guy, and use that to his advantage as a linebacker. So he is more of like a true linebacker than some of the other names that are, you know, trying to figure out where they'll end up. He's definitely really physical, lots of technique you got to improve upon. And that's something to be expected with a guy outside the top 1000. So, but really physical. I mean, he brings the heat. He blows up a ton of guys on film. It's really fun to watch, but does need to wrap up better. Usually he's just like absolutely demolishing them and kind of shoving them over. But at the next level, obviously he'll have time to clean that up. So, another guy with a great frame to work with, and I think 230 or so, he can easily get there. So, I like him because he seems more of a traditional linebacker, and you don't see that level of comfortability receiving the ball or in coverage that much of the linebacker position on high school film, and you definitely see that with Spurlock.
Yeah, I think the athleticism is certainly there. It looks like he's got the speed to boot as well. And yeah, you mentioned the coverage skills. I was pretty impressed by that as well. But he does not give a damn who has the ball. He's just going in hot. That's one of the things that stuck out to me right off the bat was he flies in, man. He has no regard for human life. He was just blowing play after play up. And you certainly need that out of your linebackers, and Michigan has had several of those in recent memory that you just, you see fly up and down the field, and he certainly could be that type of player. But yeah, the technique for sure needs to get cleaned up, and I would imagine that they would be able to work on that. And if they're, you know, willing to give him that scholarship, I think that they're confident enough that they would be able to work with him on all of that. So we'll be a guy to watch moving forward. That's for sure. Like I said, I mean, I'm kind of talking as if he's already committed. It seems like he kind of is, but he's not. I assure you, he's not committed yet, but could very well be on that way there. John, I'll give you the final word on Deuce Spurlock, who is Steven's favorite name of the recruits in this class, and we'll move on to some hoops.
Yeah, not much else to say. I like how he hits too. He hits like a strong safety in the box there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like that. This guy seems a little more linebacker like, since, you know, there's only really one true linebacker in Aaron Alexander in the class right now. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how he performs his senior year. So we'll see.
Yeah. We'll have to do a cool recruit name bracket, Steven. We got Deuce Spurlock. There are a ton of other ones out there, but if you're willing to do a tournament with us, and maybe make it a video on the YouTube channel, how does that sound?
Yeah, I think there is. Someone puts together a bracket every year, I think. And
do they really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that exists.
Oh, so, man.
I'll definitely do a video on that, but he's got it. Like, if it's a 64 person bracket, I feel like he'd probably be maybe a two seed or a three seed. I feel like there's some crazy ones out there every year,
yeah.
But Deuce Spurlock, that's worth at least a three seed, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a pretty good name for sure. That would be a high seed. I would vote for him for the first couple rounds, and you know, we'll see once we get to the Sweet 16. But you know what? We'll when we start running out of content in the summer, if there's no commitments or anything, we'll have to start that up. good thing we've got stuff to talk about until then, including our latest sponsor here on Maize and Brew Podcast, and that is Home Field Apparel. And they are a premium collegiate apparel brand based out of the Midwest in Indianapolis. Not only is their stuff comfy, but it is officially licensed gear, so they do not screw around when it comes to their designs. And the cool thing about Home Field is the team over there, they study every school's history, traditions, legacies, and with all of that comes these creative and thoughtful designs that tell you the unique story of each university. And they've got some really cool original Michigan designs that you will not find anywhere else. If you're looking for t-shirts, crew necks, whatever it is, they've got it. So if you want some of that vintage apparel, we're going to give you this 20% off promo code, and that is MNB. Use that at checkout, and you will get your entire first order. That's not just one item. You can get 15 items if you want. Use that MNB promo code. You'll get 20% off that whole purchase. So head on over to homefieldapparel.com. Start shopping today.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We are going to flip from the gridiron, talk about the hardwood here a little bit, talk some Michigan hoops recruiting. And Juwan Howard and the Wolverines continue to have just one commit in this 2022 class, and that's four-star point guard Doug McDaniel. But, you know, that position is taken care of. Point guard, it was one of those positions last cycle that it took a little while for them to get. But the position to watch moving forward here in this class is the center position, and there are certainly some interesting prospects to watch here. Donovan Klingon, unfortunately, he was a major target, but he committed to UConn about a week and a half ago, so he is now off the board. Obviously, the major players here, the five stars, the cream of the crop, Derek Lively the second and Jalen Duren. Those are the guys that everybody wants, including the G League. But each of those guys kind of seem like a pipe dream at this point. So over the weekend, Juwan Howard, with his in-person evaluations, offered a four-star big man, Ernest Udeh Jr. And he was down in Alabama at the Adidas 3SSB competition there. So he offered him after that in-person evaluation. He also received offers from Baylor and UCLA as well. So some pretty good offers rolling in for him. Already had a few really good offers from Alabama, Florida, Illinois, and Indiana, being a couple other Big Ten schools there, Kansas, Tennessee. So he just had some pretty good offers already, continues to get those offers, and we'll see where this recruitment goes now. But he is listed at 6'10", 230 pounds. He is from Orlando, Florida, the number 10 center and the number 58 overall player on the composite in this class. 24/7, they have him in their personal rankings as a five-star and the number 22 overall player in the class. So certainly a good prospect here. John, I'll turn it over to you. I spoke with him and his AAU coach over the weekend, and Udeh Jr. had told me that he hasn't really thought about which schools are at the top yet for him, which I really can't blame him because he's got a ton of really good schools going after him. He said that he plans on doing that sometime in the fall, but he had very good things to say about Juwan, said he's a super relatable guy, very easy to talk to, all that kind of stuff. So with that in mind, John, Michigan could probably be in a real good spot if they push enough for him. And at this point, with the position being as open as it is for the Wolverines, it kind of seems like they're taking their time, taking a slower approach to the center position. I think it's a good thing to do because all of their options are really high-level guys. So what do you think about him as a prospect, and what do you think about just the center position for Michigan moving forward here?
Yeah, well, I think big men across the country should be clamoring to play for Juwan Howard, given his track record of development at the position. So I think they're going to get a quality player. I'm not sure who it will be yet, but they're going to get a good center. And I like Udeh a lot. I think it's promising that he's blowing up, you know, recently. I think that shows that he has a lot of untapped potential still and could, you know, climb even higher in the rankings if everything goes well. So I think it's still kind of early in, you know, his relationship with Michigan. So I think it's going to take some time to see where Michigan stands there. But I think it also, you know, gives them a shot to give a good impression and really move up his list once he learns more about the program, and then potentially takes a visit when he's, you know, ready to sit down and evaluate all his options, which I'm sure he, you know, once this flood of offers stops coming through, he can finally, you know, stop and figure out the schools that he really wants to focus on.
Yeah. I think this could be a beautiful relationship just beginning to bloom here, honestly, just given that it seems like he's really taking his time with his recruitment. He's focusing on what is best for him and what is best for his future. And Michigan obviously taking a slow approach at the center position as well, given that, you know, they're like I said, the 2 5-stars that they're going after kind of seem like a pipe dream at this point. And Klingon coming off the board. So at this point, I mean, they can do a full reevaluation of things and see what's best for them, which I think it's a good approach by the school and by the kid. So we'll certainly see what happens here. But Steven, I'll turn it back over to you. His AAU coach, when I was speaking with him, had mentioned some pretty glowing things about Udeh Jr., said that he's a 4.0 student and that Michigan is appealing to him not only because of those high level of athletics that they're known for, you know, basketball, football, but also because of the academics with him being a 4.0 GPA student. And Jawan had told him that Uday is one of the most well-spoken kids that he's talked to as far as how engaged he was in conversation and the questions that he was asking, and had mentioned that he could have an impact his freshman season if he comes to Michigan because of where his body is already at in his development, with him being at 6'10", 230. So to me, it seems like they really like this kid. I know that they just had their first in-person evaluation of him, but I don't know. The words that were used speaking with not only just his AAU coach, but also Uday himself, it really seems like, you know, it's going to take some time to really develop everything. But I think this could end up being one that Michigan, like I said earlier, if they push hard enough, could be in a really good spot for him later down the road.
Yeah, as you talk, it just seems like there's the more that you talk, it just lines up in Michigan's favor. Seems like there's a good relationship between the recruit and Jawan Howard and the AAU coach. Seems like a lot resonates there. You look at his other offers, UCLA, you have the Stanford offer, lots of high academics there as well. So high academic, high character guy. Obviously Michigan resonates quite well with guys of that profile. And then you look at his game. You know, 6'10", you mentioned he's got a frame to put on more muscle, even at that size. There's a lot of things, I think, from a technical standpoint that you can improve on technique wise. But, you know, you look at any program right now and say, okay, who can develop a true center into his full potential? And you just look at the Big Ten freshman of the year in Hunter Dickinson, and that's a pretty easy pitch if I'm Michigan, right? Yep. So, and if your coach is head coach is Jawan Howard, I mean, come on. So as you say those things, it just lines up in Michigan's favor, and it's hard to see a better fit overall. A lot of those things, if you're a recruit, you tick the boxes, and Michigan's going to have most of those boxes checked. So, you know, I think what stands out on his film, he looks pretty smooth for his size. I do like his patience on offense, receiving the ball in the paint. He allows defenders to commit to either going for the block or he understands timing, when to go for the dunk. I mean, it's tough for a lot of these guys to be there technically when they're drastically towering over most players they'll go against, right? So that's something to be expected from him. But I think his athleticism and fluidity overall just gives him an overall package that that's what you want your clay made of if you're Jawan Howard. He's looking at Uday here, and he's like, man, this is a guy who I can really shape and just vibes really well with what Michigan has.
Yeah. You kind of nailed it right on the head there. I mean,
I left you speechless, Vaughn. You can say it, man. I nailed it, right?
nailed it, man. I mean, it just, you honestly did nail it despite the little Mike situation there. But one other thing that stuck out to me when I was speaking with him was the fact that I asked him, you know, well, what is it about Michigan other than Jawan that appeals to you right now? And he said that the program has a good reputation. It's well put together, and they have 9 national championships. That's not easy to do. And I was just like, man, like that, that's just something that I wouldn't have expected a recruit to know, the amount of national championships that the program has. And obviously he was right in the evaluation that it is a school with a good reputation. The program's well put together. I mean, they've had a lot going for them since Jawan came back. So clearly they're recruiting at a high level, and they're going for high academic and athleticism in this class, it seems like. And Ernest Uday Jr. very well could be one of those next guys that they get committed to the program that falls into that category. So, John, final word, I'll give it to you. Anything else that sticks out to you in this recruitment? I know it's early, but just wanted to throw it back to you once more before we wrap up here.
No, I just want to talk a little bit about the board with Terrace Reed and like Johan Traore, I think are also pretty good candidates to join the fold. I think it would be nice if Michigan pulled Reed for away from Ohio State, who was a presumed favorite before, but either way, I think it's a win.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a ton of guys at this position that they're still continuing to recruit. Obviously, Terrace Reed, he took an official visit just a few weeks ago, and he's a top 100 kid. Like you said, has interest in really both rivals here, Michigan State and Ohio State. And he's pretty much the same frame as Uday, 6'10", 230. And the center position in general, they're going after several of these guys. Kyle Filipowski, obviously being another guy, he's a top 50 player that they offered recently at 6'11", 230. So just tons of bodies at this center position in this class. It's really the position to watch moving forward, with point guard already said and done. And you can kind of just throw Jet Howard into the mix as a commit as well, as a shooting guard, small forward type of player. So guys, I appreciate it as always. And thank you for listening. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at @Vaughn_Lozon. John, where are you at, buddy?
At @Simmons_John.
Steven, where are you at?
At Steven Toski.
You can also follow Maize and Brew on pretty much everything, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Go enjoy all of Steven's YouTube content as well on the Maize and Brew YouTube channel, pushing out content left and right. Always good stuff. And be sure to rate, subscribe to all of our podcasts here on the Maize and Brew Podcast Network. We would greatly appreciate it. Give us those 5 stars. That would be awesome. Much appreciated as always. So for John and for Steven, I am Vaughn. We'll come back to you guys next week with another edition of Future Brew. Thanks for listening, and go Blue.